Now, the rest of the story. Rumors crackled through the palace like evil electricity. Antoinette was plotting to overthrow the government and to depose the nation's monarch, her own brother. Angrily, many courtiers recalled Antoinette's contempt for her kind. Indeed, unbelievably, she denied the very French blood in her veins, vehemently insisted there was none, even though both of her parents were French and she herself was born in Paris. So, that such a woman despised her own brother surprised nobody, except him, a gentle, scholarly soul whose intellect encompassed practically everything but an understanding of human nature, and thus was his throne in jeopardy, the target of a scheming sister who sought to reserve it for her son, who was then 6 years young. Long had Antoinette labored to curry the favor of key people in the royal court, to establish a circle of powerful friends who would remain loyal to her when the moment came to strike. Through subtle brainwashing, they had come to deplore the country's ruler, and at the first opportunity, they vowed they would help Antoinette throw him out. In this burgeoning rebellion, she possessed another advantage. For at that time in the nation's history, the people loved her. For years, she had cunningly cultivated their respect while slyly planting the seeds of discontent. She had insinuated that her brother did not have the country's best interests at heart. Whenever convenient, she alluded to the fact that he had no son to succeed him. Her son, she said, was the only proper successor to the throne. And Antoinette insisted that one day, with that in mind, he would be the occupant of the throne. Court and country were in upheaval over a financial scandal. While Antoinette's brother was himself utterly innocent, many close to him were implicated. And at the height of this crisis, when the people were least content with their ruler, at the height of this crisis, when they were beginning to turn against him, Antoinette stood poised for her coup d'etat. Two loyal courtiers, named Salamito and Crovetto, having overheard the plot to overthrow the nation's monarch, went to him and warned him. Incredulous at first that his own sister would attempt such treason, he was presented with sufficient proof, and sadly he went about the business of defending himself. First considering banishment for his sister, instead he confronted Antoinette with the consequences should she proceed with her plans, and then he quietly suspended her from all public duties while creating the impression among his subjects that his sister remained loyally at his side. And then, at long last, the monarch married and had a son, so that never again might it be argued that the throne had no heir. Well, you know the girl he married. The whole world has long envisioned his principality as a Camelot of sorts. A place of glamour, royalty, serenity, and sunshine. But in the last 4 minutes, you've learned that here, too, the round table was once divided. That revolution was only a breath away, and that a gentle prince named Rainier was almost subdued by his own sister in a not-so-magical land called Monaco, because now you know the rest of the story.